You set up your business, you direct it. You put it in motion, then you control what you put in motion by means of your regulations, your laws, your government of that. Can you imagine God bringing Adam into the world and telling Adam, hey, baby, you eat from all this. Give him a lot to eat from. Everything but one thing. He told him, well, don't eat from that. But then he was fascinated. Why tell me don't eat from that? See, that's that curious nature of the human being. When you tell him don't do something, that's when they really want to say, what the hell are you telling me don't fuck? When you listen to that which is other than God, then you have started on the road of the cardinal sin, which is setting up a rival or a partner with God. Polytheism. Here's something that didn't create nothing. Now directing God's creation. How do you think God speaks? You got a wife. You feed her. You clothe her. You shelter her. You teach her. You guide her. And then she gives her love to somebody else. How you feel? God? The Lord thy God? Is angry and called because he's a jealous God. And he's about to throw down. How dare you bow down to some image? Some likeness. Even though you are made in the image and the likeness, God don't want none of us bowing down to each other. We should bow down to him who originated us all and nobody else. Well, he who creates you is the legal, lawful, proper authority to give direction to our life. And nothing in creation has the right to supersede God in giving instruction to his creation. Nothing. Not the government. Not the president. Not the pope. Not the mullah or the sheikh. But if you don't know God's will, then somebody can play God and mess up your life. The devil is the origin of polytheism. But it doesn't start from outside, it starts from inside. I want you to hear me now.
Go ahead. Come on.
Whenever God gives an order, deceptive intelligence comes up to rationalize you are not doing what God says you. It don't come from outside. It starts right in. Let's look at it. Let's see if this is true. Here's the serpent.
Come on.
Eve is there. She's cool. And the devil says, hey, baby. He didn't say it quite right. See, God trying to keep you in a certain box. You see, you ain't gonna surely die if you eat this, but you become like him. We're forever.
Yes.
And we all want immortality. Look how this snake works. See, in the Bible says the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. I'd like to show you a snake. And when you go home, I want you to take a good damn look in the mirror. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. See all this holy BS? I want to say it like right, you know what I mean? But I'll say holy BS. All these false creatures that want to make people think they're so holy. I want to show you a snake. And when you go home and look in that mirror, I want you to see yourself. Don't look for no other devil, because there ain't a damn devil nowhere that can ruin your life better than you are ruining it right now. Now you listen. Deceptive intelligence. See? Rationalizing disobedience. God say, Lord, the hem of your garment. You say, well, sure, God is right. I'll lower it, but then I'm going to make it tight. Go ahead. Well, I really want the brothers to see how fine I am. See, that's deceptive intelligence. Rationalizing crap. Let's go look for it. See, if you look at all the mess that you and I have done in our life, and there's a whole lot to look at. How did you get so screwed up? See, you had a whispering devil from within yourself that used deceptive intelligence. Look at that. To rationalize what was improper, incorrect, and sin. And this deceptive intelligence makes evil fair-seeming. When you use deceptive intelligence to rationalize disobedience, what are you doing to yourself? You're beginning to rationalize an unjust conclusion or an unjust assumption. And on the basis of an unjust assumption, you do an action. If the assumption is wrong, then the action is unjust. So we say in our prayers, I have been greatly unjust to myself. And if we are unjust to ourselves, nobody else stands a chance. Now look, when you can rationalize an unjust assumption and proceed on the basis of that assumption, you are acting against your being. You are acting against your own existence. You are acting against the purpose of your existence. And in that action of deceiving yourself and rationalizing disobedience, it has a blinding effect on your consciousness. It has a deafening effect. Because after that, you don't want to hear nothing that challenges your unjust assumption. See how we play games with labels? I'm a Christian. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Jew. The hell you are. You ain't none of that. You are what you think
and you allow what you carry into practice. And if you could put our stock on the table and look at them. Yeah, I'm having your feelings, then you can go home. But that's not my intention. Mine wasn't at the head.
That's right.
But I want to force us to look at ourselves. I'm not putting this on you, and it is not coming back on me. If it's lashing you, it's lashing me too. God got it coming out of me, but I'm looking at it.
Put it on now.
Whoa. I got to get it straight. Go ahead. I don't want nobody to think that anybody from up here or down there is a perfect representative of whatever we think we're representing. But we've got to struggle.
Yes, sir.
We've got to strive.
Yeah.
Against that deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
After a while, you become deaf. You can't hear nothing.
Yeah.
But what tickles your fancy?
All right.
After a while, you become dumb.
Yes. Yes.
You speak concerning to your lust.
Yeah. All right.
Not the word of God. So after a while, you can't see the reality of your life. So you begin living in a world of illusion. And so many of us are mentally sick because we're living in a world of illusion and the world of reality is passing us by. I don't care nothing about fame or fortune. Fame and fortune don't make you what God intends. Alligator shoes and diamond rings and Cadillac cars and fur coats and fine homes don't make you what God intended for you to be. All of this is illusory.
Go ahead.
Before there was creation, there was Creator. So why should you seek things before we seek Him? So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all things will be added unto you. Hold on. The Quran says, have you seen him who takes his low desire as a god beside God? It said a human being is like the dog. You know, the dog lolls out his tongue. And every time you see the dog, this world got us just like that. We have taken our low desire for a god beside God. The god of the lower region in ancient times was called Orcus. He's the god of the lower region, the never world. And when we live in the world of our appetites, in the world of our drives, then the heart, soul, and mind is subordinated to the drive.
All right.
Then the heart, soul, and mind die. And we become dead men and women whose root now in spirituality is covered over by the dross of the lust of the flesh. Any rationale that you develop that deceives us and makes rebellion to God fair seeming is bringing us into contact with the law of death. Life is obedience to God and death is rebellion to God. in God's self-creation and self-realization of this that was in himself that gave rise to devil. He desired and set in motion the law of evolution, and that's what makes him Rabbul Alameen. He became Rab, the nurturer, the Lord, who would nurture things, making them attain stage after stage until they reach perfection. When you are grasping, taking away from truth to a fault to support a false assumption, or adding to truth to support a false assumption, you are making a devil. And you ain't making a devil outside of yourself. You're making one right in yourself. So putting aside labels which create division among those who seek to serve God, and allows us to see purely the true religion of God and the true purpose of his religion. That's what we have to do today. Put aside the labels. Don't fight for Christianity. Fight for obedience to God through Jesus. Don't fight for Judaism. Fight for obedience to God through the law and commandment of the prophet. Don't say Islam is my religion, but my way of life is rebellion. You are a liar. If you are a Muslim, then fight for obedience to God. Now look. Allah says in the Quran, this day I have completed my favor on you and perfected for you your religion and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. Allah says in the Quran, no religion will be accepted on that day but Islam. He says, surely the true religion of Allah is Islam. How do Muslims read that?
Come on.
See, when you get into labels, you say, well, my label.
Come on.
It's sinless. It's better than JB. Hell no. What Allah is saying in the Quran, no religion is going to be accepted except obedience to God. If you bring up a religion other than obey God, it's rejected. Here's Jews today saying, we're the seed of Abraham. Muslims say, we're the seed of Abraham. Christians say, we're the seed of Abraham. Liars! Abraham don't know nothing about you all. Wait a minute. So Abraham is our father. He's the father of these three great monotheistic religions. You're a monotheistic liar. Or you're a polytheistic liar masquerading under monotheism. Don't get upset. I ain't got but a few more minutes. Wait now. Abraham was such a wonderful person. He's called the friend of God. Waliullah. Friend of God. Man, that's wonderful. I would like to be a friend of God. I need a friend in a world like this. I really need a friend. These bums hate me. So if I don't have a good friend, I'm a dead man. How did Abraham become the friend of God? Now, this is a very critical part of what I'm about to say. God says to Abraham, and when Abraham was tried with certain commands, and he fulfilled them, Allah said, surely I will make you a leader of men. Now, what made Abraham the friend of God? He was tried by certain commands.
All right.
Meaning, he was directed with authority to do something. Now, I don't know how many of us could do what God asked Abraham. As a man whose wife was barren, and finally the handmaiden comes up with something, and then Sarah comes up with a baby, and then he asks Abraham to take him up on the mountain and sacrifice. I know you love your son, I love mine. Isn't that a tough command? Take the boy that you've been looking for, the boy that you delight in, take him up on the mountain and kill him. Some of the scholars say on the way up the mountain, Satan got to Ishmael.
Go ahead.
And said, Ishmael, there ain't no lamb up there that they're going to sacrifice. It's you. And look at Ishmael's answer. He said, if that's what pleases God, it pleases me. So now, once Abraham raised the dagger and was about to plunge it, the boy didn't fight the altar, he laid on the altar. That's something. Then God stayed his hand and said, because you were willing to sacrifice what you love the most to prove that you love me more. My covenant is not only with you. My covenant is with your seed. Abraham asked, well, what about my offspring? He said, my covenant does not include the wrongdoer. I'm about to wrap this up. Are you a seed of Abraham because you're a Jew? Are you the seed of Abraham because you're a Muslim? Are you the seed of Abraham because you're a Christian? No. Jesus said, if you were the seed of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. It is the works of Abraham that make you a relative of Abraham, not no sperm. Go ahead. Go ahead. Too many of you are into this blood mess.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. We got to look after the family. What family?
Come on, come on.
What the hell are you talking about? Family ain't blood. God don't want a damn blood family today. God want a family based on his spirit and not your genetic makeup. You could be of my genetic makeup and not be of me.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Because genetics only give you physical characteristics and spiritual potential.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But my son.
Go ahead.
It's not my son by spam. My son is my son by spirit. And if you don't have my spirit, to hell with you. We are not of me. Each one of you is more than sperm and egg. I can give you characteristics where you look like me.
Go ahead.
Oh, his head is shaped just like his father.
What the hell is in his head?
Go ahead.
What is in his heart? Is it like his father's? Hell no. Then if it's not like me on the inside, you don't belong to me from the outside.
Go ahead.
I say this to my children and my grandchildren.
Go ahead.
To hell with you all if you don't accept God and obey God and live for God. I don't give a damn about none of you.
Go ahead.
Of good leadership of the people of God.
Go ahead.
Is obedience to God. The prerequisite for leadership is, are you going to obey God? What the hell do you know to lead God's people if you won't obey God and let him direct you? And any leader that refuses to obey God must be set down. Because any leader that practices rebellion to God has no right to lead the people of God. This day, I set before you two signs. One of life and one of death. One of obedience.
Yes, sir.
And one of disobedience. Choose life.
All right.
That you and your seed may live.
Go ahead.
When you obey God, you prepare life for your children. When you disobey God, you prepare death not only for yourself, but for your children. The Bible says, prepare slaughter for the children.
Go ahead.
For the iniquities of their father. You think you get away with your crap?
Go ahead.
Go away. Go away.
Wallowing in this filth.
Go ahead.
You got these little babies coming up.
Come on.
And you think that your life is some independent vessel that's not tied to the past and to the future. You are nothing more than a link in the chain. And if your link is rotten, then what's coming from you? You've diminished their chances. I will destroy them that hate me to the third and fourth generation. How do you determine a people's hatred for God? It is when they know his will and refuse to do it. How do you determine a people's hatred for God when they don't want to bow down and recognize his right to guide us? There's a consequence, because most of us have no realization of how our rebellion affects our children. Because when you go off course, you want your children to look up to you. So deceptive intelligence comes up.
Go ahead.
Why are you trying to make your children see rebellion through your eyes? To make your rebellion fast seeding. So you refuse to let your seed go, but you're damning them.
Go ahead.
Choose life, choose life. Choose life. My dear family, choose life. My wife and my children, choose life.
Yes, sir.
My grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, choose life. Choose life that you may live. You set up your business, you direct it. You put it in motion, then you control what you put in motion by means of your regulations, your laws, your government of that. Can you imagine God bringing
Adam into the world and telling Adam, hey, baby, you eat from all this. Give him a lot to eat from. Everything but one thing. He told him, well, don't eat from that. But then he was fascinated. Why tell me don't eat from that? See, that's that curious nature of the human being. When you tell him don't do something, that's when they really want to say, what the hell are you telling me don't fuck? When you listen to that which is other than God, then you have started on the road of the cardinal sin, which is setting up a rival or a partner with God. Polytheism. Here's something that didn't create nothing. Now directing God's creation. How do you think God speaks? You got a wife. You feed her. You clothe her. You shelter her. You teach her. You guide her. And then she gives her love to somebody else. How you feel? God? The Lord thy God? Is angry and cold because he's a jealous God. And he's about to throw down. How dare you bow down to some image? Some likeness. Even though you are made in the image and the likeness, God don't want none of us bowing down to each other. We should bow down to him who originated us all and nobody else. Well, he who creates you is the legal, lawful, proper authority to give direction to our life. And nothing in creation has the right to supersede God in giving instruction to his creation. Nothing. Not the government. Not the president. Not the Pope. Not the mullah or the sheikh. But if you don't know God's will, then somebody can play God and mess up your life. The devil is the origin of polytheism. But it doesn't start from outside, it starts from inside. I want you to hear me now.
Go ahead. Come on.
Whenever God gives an order, deceptive intelligence comes up to rationalize you are not doing what God says do. It don't come from outside, it starts right in. Let's look at it. Let's see if this is true. Here's the serpent.
Come on.
Eve is there. She's cool. And the devil says, hey, baby. He didn't say it quite right. See, God trying to keep you in a certain box. You see, you ain't gonna surely die if you eat this, but you become like him.
All right.
You're forever.
Yeah.
And we all want immortality. Look how this snake works. See, in the Bible says the serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field. I'd like to show you a snake. And when you go home, I want you to take a good damn look in the mirror. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. See, all this holy BS, I want to say it like right, you know what I mean? But I'll say holy BS. All these false creatures that want to make people think they're so holy. I want to show you a snake. And when you go home and look in that mirror, I want you to see yourself. Don't look for no other devil, because there ain't a damn devil nowhere that can ruin your life better than you are ruining it right now. Now you listen. Deceptive intelligence. See? Rationalizing disobedience. God say, Lord, a hem of your garment. You say, well, sure, God is right. I'll lower it, but then I'm going to make it tight. I really want the brothers to see how fine I am. See, that's deceptive intelligence. Rationalizing crap. Let's go look for it. See, if you look at all the mess that you and I have done in our life, and there's a whole lot to look at. How did you get so screwed up? See, you have a whispering devil from within yourself. That used deceptive intelligence.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. To rationalize what was improper, incorrect, and sin. And this deceptive intelligence makes evil fair-seeming. We use deceptive intelligence to rationalize disobedience. What are you doing to yourself? You're beginning to rationalize an unjust conclusion or an unjust assumption. And on the basis of an unjust assumption, you do an action. If the assumption is wrong, then the action is unjust. So we say in our prayers, I have been greatly unjust to myself. And if we are unjust to ourselves, nobody else stands a chance. Now look, when you can rationalize an unjust assumption and proceed on the basis of that assumption, you are acting against your being. You are acting against your own existence. You are acting against the purpose of your existence. And in that action of deceiving yourself and rationalizing disobedience, it has a binding effect on your consciousness. It has a deafening effect. Because after that, you don't want to hear nothing that challenges your unjust assumption. See how we play games with labels? I'm a Christian. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Jew. The hell you are. You ain't none of that. You are what you think. And you are what you carry into practice. And if you could put our thoughts on the table and look at them. If I'm having your feelings, then you can go home. But that's not my intention. My
that isn't that the head?
That's right.
But I want to force us to look at ourselves. I'm not putting this on you, and it is not coming back on me. If it's lashing you, it's lashing me too. God got it coming out of me, but I'm looking at it.
Put it on now.
Whoa. I got to get it straight.
Go ahead.
I don't want nobody to think that anybody from up here or down there is a perfect representative of whatever we think we're representing. But we've got to struggle.
Yes, sir.
We've got to strive.
Yeah.
Against that deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience.
Yes, sir.
After a while, you become deaf. You can't hear nothing.
Yes.
But what tickles your fancy?
All right.
After a while, you become dumb.
Yes.
You speak concerning to your lust.
All right.
Not the word of God. So after a while, you can't see the reality of your life. So you begin living in a world of illusion. And so many of us are mentally sick because we're living in a world of illusion and the world of reality is passing us by. I don't care nothing about fame or fortune. Fame and fortune don't make you what God intends. Alligator shoes and diamond rings and Cadillac cars and fur coats and fine homes don't make you what God intended for you to be. All of this is illusory.
Go ahead.
Before there was creation, there was Creator. So why should you seek things before we seek Him? So Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Hold on. The Quran says, have you seen him who takes his low desire as a god beside God? It said a human being is like the dog. You know, the dog lolls out his tongue. And every time you see the dog, this world got us just like that. We have taken our low desire for a god beside God. The god of the lower region in ancient times was called Orcus. He's the god of the lower region, the never world. And when we live in the world of our appetites, in the world of our drives, then the heart, soul, and mind is subordinated to the drive. Then the heart, soul, and mind die. And we become dead men and women whose root now in spirituality is covered over by the dross of the lust of the flesh. Any rationale that you develop that deceives us and makes rebellion to God fair seeming is bringing us into contact with the law of death. Life is obedience to God and death is rebellion to God. In God's self-creation and self-realization of this that was in himself that gave rise to devil, he desired and set in motion the law of evolution, and that's what makes him Rabbul Alameen. He became Rab, the nurturer, the Lord, who would nurture things, making them attain stage after stage until they reach perfection. When you are grafting, taking away from truth to a false
to support a false assumption, or adding to truth to support a false assumption, you are making a devil. And you ain't making a devil outside of yourself. You're making one right in yourself. So putting aside labels which create division among those who seek to serve God and allows us to see purely the true religion of God and the true purpose of His religion. That's what we have to do today. Put aside the labels. Don't fight for Christianity. Fight for obedience to God through Jesus. Don't fight for Judaism. Fight for obedience to God through the law and commandment of the prophet. Don't say Islam is my religion, but my way of life is rebellion. You are a liar. If you are a Muslim, then fight for obedience to God. Now look. Allah says in the Quran, this day I have completed my favor on you and perfected for you your religion and have chosen for you Islam as a religion. Allah says in the Quran, no religion will be accepted on that day but Islam. He says, surely the true religion of Allah is Islam. How do Muslims read that?
Come on.
See, when you get into labels, you say, well, my label.
Come on.
It's sinless. It's better than JB. Hell no. What Allah is saying in the Quran, no religion is going to be accepted except obedience to God. If you bring up a religion other than obey God, it's rejected. Here's Jews today saying, we're the seed of Abraham. Muslims say, we're the seed of Abraham. Christians say, we're the seed of Abraham. Liars! Abraham don't know nothing about you all. Wait a minute. So Abraham is our father. He's the father of these three great monotheistic religions. You're a monotheistic liar. Or you're a polytheistic liar masquerading under monotheism. Don't get upset. I ain't got but a few more minutes. Wait now. Abraham was such a wonderful person. He's called the friend of God. Waliullah. Friend of God. Man, that's wonderful. I would like to be a friend of God. I need a friend. In a world like this, I really need a friend. These bums hate me. So if I don't have a good friend, I'm a dead man. How did Abraham become the friend of God? Now, this is a very critical part of what I'm about to say. God says to Abraham, and when Abraham was tried with certain commands, and he fulfilled them, Allah said, surely I will make you a leader of men. Now, what made Abraham the friend of God? He was tried by certain commands.
All right.
Meaning, he was directed with authority to do something. Now, I don't know how many of us could do what God asked Abraham. As a man whose wife was barren and
Finally, the handmaiden comes up with something. And then Sarah comes up with a baby. And then he asks Abraham to take him up on the mountain and sacrifice him. I know you love your son. I love mine. Isn't that a tough command? Take the boy that you've been looking for, the boy that you delight in, take him up on the mountain and kill him. Some of the scholars say on the way up the mountain, Satan got to Ishmael and said, Ishmael, there ain't no lamb up there that they're going to sacrifice. It's you. And look at Ishmael's answer. He said, if that's what pleases God, it pleases me. So now, once Abraham raised the dagger and was about to plunge it, the boy didn't fight the altar, he laid on the altar. That's Then God stayed his hand and said, because you were willing to sacrifice what you love the most to prove that you love me more. My covenant is not only with you. My covenant is with your seed. Abraham asked, well, what about my offspring? He said, my covenant does not include the wrongdoers. I'm about to wrap this up. Are you a seed of Abraham because you a Jew? Are you the seed of Abraham because you a Muslim? Are you the seed of Abraham because you're a Christian? No. Jesus said, if you were the seed of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. It is the works of Abraham that makes you a relative of Abraham, not no sperm. Go ahead. Go ahead. Too many of you are into this blood mess.
Go ahead.
We gotta look after the family. What family?
Come on.
What the hell are you talking about? Family ain't blood. God don't want a damn blood family today. God want a family based on his spirit and not your genetic makeup. You could be of my genetic makeup and not be of me.
Go ahead.
Because genetics only give you physical characteristics and spiritual potential.
Go ahead.
But my son
is
not my son by spam. My son is my son by spirit. And if you don't have my spirit, to hell with you. You are not of me. Each one of you is more than sperm and egg. I can give you characteristics where you look like me.
Go ahead.
His head is shaped just like his father. What the hell is in his head?
Go ahead.
What is in his heart? Is it like his father's? Hell no. Then if it's not like me on the inside, you don't belong to me from the outside.
Go ahead.
I say this to my children and my grandchildren. To hell with you all if you don't accept God and obey God and live for God. I don't give a damn about none of you.
Go ahead.
of good leadership of the people of God is obedience to God. The prerequisite for leadership is, are you going to obey God? What the hell do you know to lead God's people if you won't obey God and let Him direct you? And any leader that refuses to obey God must be set down. Because any leader that practices rebellion to God has no right to lead the people of God. This day, I set before you two signs. One of life and one of death. One of obedience and one of disobedience. Choose life that you and your seed may live. When you obey God, you prepare life for your children. When you disobey God, you prepare death not only for yourself, but for your children. The Bible says, prepare slaughter for the children. For the iniquities of their father. You think you get away with your crap? Wallowing in this filth. You got these little babies coming up. And you think that your life is some independent vessel that's not tied to the past and to the future. You are nothing more than a link in the chain. And if your link is rotten, then what's coming from you? You've diminished their chances. I will destroy them that hate me to the third and fourth generation. How do you determine a people's hatred for God? It is when they know His will and refuse to do it. How do you determine a people's hatred for God? When they don't want to bow down and recognize His right to guide us. There's a consequence. Because most of us have no realization of how our rebellion affects our children. Because when you go off course, you want your children to look up to you. So deceptive intelligence comes up.
Go ahead.
Why are you trying to make your children see rebellion through your eyes? To make your rebellion fast seed. So you refuse to let your seed go, but you're damning them.
Go ahead.
Choose life, too. Choose life. My dear family, choose life. My wife and my children, choose life.
Yes, sir.
My grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, choose life. Choose life that you may live.